It's Ideasphere with Professor Ofer Sharon. Flawed system, flawed self.
You have one type of unemployment experience, which is not a happy one, but it's typically not one of self-blame. Unlike the white-collar case, where people become often filled with self-doubt, in the American blue-collar case and in the Israeli case, what we see is much more about a feeling of anger about a system that is shutting them out, that is not giving them a fair chance to show their underlying strengths and potential, and is rendering them invisible.
Unemployed white-collar Americans can spend months or years unsuccessfully job hunting. It's at that point they have a tendency to blame themselves. According to MIT sociologist Ofer Sharon, self-blame isn't inevitable. In fact, blue-collar Americans and white-collar Israelis experience job hunting in completely different ways. Hello, I'm Guy Rothbun. Welcome to Ideasphere, a platform for today's voices with Professor Sharon. His book, Flawed System, Flawed Self, Job Searching and Unemployment Experiences, reveals how different labor market institutions give rise to job search games. He calls these games chemistry and spec. By closely examining the specific day-to-day activities in job searching, Sharon has developed a theory, one that highlights the differing tactics that in turn lead to very different experiences of unemployment. Professor Sharon joins me for this program. Thanks so much for taking this time.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Guy.
Yes, you're tackling a subject that has affected America, actually the world in so many ways, joblessness and the jobless rate. But what you're doing is looking at it from the perspective of what you're referring to as specs and chemistry games. Do you want to outline those to begin?
Sure. It turns out that how one experiences unemployment depends a lot on how one has to look for work, and that the ways of looking for work really vary. So what I call the chemistry game is the way that American white-collar workers need to look for work, which we kind of take for granted. It's invisible to us, but when you take a cross-national look, you see that it's very peculiar and specific. So what I mean by the chemistry game is that getting hired in white-collar America is centrally about networking, about developing rapport with people that are in the field in hopes that they will then refer you to hiring managers, and then at interviews with hiring managers, establishing not that so much that you have the skills, that's a threshold issue, but that you're someone who's going to be a good fit, often someone that the hiring manager likes. And this is where the idea of interpersonal chemistry being so important is the focus of this job search. And I contrast that by examining how it looks like to look for very similar types of jobs, very similar workers in Israel, where what I call the specs game refers to a hiring regime that is much more focused at the very front end on minute specifications, if you will, things like very detailed experiences, credentials, a very rigid and long list of things that could preclude you from consideration. And then that is followed by a very arduous test of both hard skills, but also includes personality tests, group dynamic tests. These two ways of looking for work then create very different experiences of unemployment, and I think help us understand particularly why it is in the American case that we have this pattern of self-blame and people experiencing unemployment as something that is their fault and perhaps reflecting something is wrong with them.
Right, the blame game, which Americans are used to hearing about, those who have lost their jobs for whatever reason, downsizing or restructuring, they still manage to blame themselves severely. And you mentioned one case in particular where a fellow lost his job and within a year, his wife left him. He was just a total wreck, even considered suicide.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, those kind of stories are more common than we'd like to think. Family breakdown in the wake of unemployment, particularly long-term unemployment when we're talking over 6 months, also deterioration of health, physical and mental health, and of course the financial crisis that comes with it. The self-blame is something that particularly came up in my study with job seekers regarding their difficulty in finding new work. So it's interesting, when they're laid off, people often do see structural external forces at play. There's an economic downturn, there's outsourcing, there are other forces which people can keep in mind in understanding what is happening in their careers. But in the American context, as we look for new work, the frame of understanding shifts to one that is much more individualized, where people begin to feel like they must be doing something wrong or there's something wrong with them that they're not finding work. And this is where I think it's really important to look at how they need to look for work, how our white-collar labor market works. And as I said before, the centrality of networking, of building relationships and rapport, makes it so that when people are rejected in the labor market, they feel that rejection very personally. Our hiring system creates a very precarious situation for people who are struggling to find jobs, where it sets them up to think that it's something about them, and it obscures the other more structural external forces, like the very difficult job market. And so this is an important finding of the book, is the linking of how we look for work and then how we understand our unemployment, and then to think about what kind of support is therefore most appropriate. I don't believe that we're going to see any change in the way hiring works in the short run. That's strongly embedded. But I do think we could see changes in the kind of support that is provided to job seekers who face this kind of particularly long-term unemployment.
Well, the other thing I see in there that could be restructured from your sociological insight, if I can use that phrase, is that Americans tend to billboard themselves, market themselves. They have to make this really fancy resume, and that puts them in the position of having control, and yet they don't.
Yes, I think there is an issue of how much control people perceive they actually have as compared to how much control they in fact have. So much of the advice and support provided to job seekers says to them, look, you can take control if you develop the right attitude, if you take the time to write the right kind of resume and do networking in the right way, you can indeed be in control of your own career and your job search outcome. This message is meant to inspire people, to make them feel empowered. It's true that sometimes people are their own worst enemies, and this kind of inspiring message may work to some extent, particularly at the start of an unemployment period. But what happens is, over time, as people encounter difficulties and obstacles, as most people do, the average duration of unemployment now is about 8 months, this message of control leaves them ill-equipped to deal with the reality of many, many obstacles and forces outside their control. And it leaves them very vulnerable to personalizing, to outcomes, to thinking that if I'm not getting a job, it must mean I'm not writing the resume correctly or I'm not networking correctly. And then as they put even more effort into perfecting the resume and the networking and the elevator speech and everything else that goes with it, too often I hear people after 6 months or so begin to say things like, I feel like there's something wrong with me. This is something that would come up in interviews, typically towards the end of the interview. It's not something people are happy to share that they feel. Often they don't discuss it with anyone. There's tremendous isolation. But this is a feeling that is common and very destructive of one's sense of self and destructive of their ability to continue effectively job searching. Because once you begin to fear that there may be something wrong with you, that there's something about you, it's very hard to get the energy and confidence and the resilience that you need to continue energetically job searching. And so I really think there's a place here for thinking about how to support job seekers who are facing this very situation, which is increasingly common. We have a crisis right now of long-term unemployment. We are at record levels unseen since the Great Depression in terms of how many people are facing long-term unemployment. And I really think we do need to address supporting this group of job seekers in a more effective way.
The book we're talking about, in case you've just tuned in, Flawed System, Flawed Self, Job Searching and Unemployment Experiences, author Sharon. It's available in softcover. Mr. Sharon, you have a website, blog, or anything else you'd recommend?
So ofersharon.com is a website that gives more information about this project. There are many other resources that job seekers could turn to. There's, we're finding some resources for support. Jobhunt.org is a good website that I think offers much information. But I do encourage people to seek a wide variety in the types of support they turn to. So often, if people look for support, what they would find is networking groups. And networking groups are helpful in that they may actually provide the kind of leads that will lead to your next job. The downside of networking groups is they're specifically focused on you presenting your best self in order to get a referral, which means that it's not a space to be open about the very difficult experience you may be having with unemployment and job searching. Mm-hmm. A different kind of space is necessary, and I encourage people to try to find it. Sometimes in churches it's provided. Other times people need to create it themselves, finding other people who are in the same boat, but a situation where they can talk openly about this very tough experience with people who are empathetic and who may also be going through the same thing. I find that incredibly helpful.
Okay, we'll have that website repeated at the end of the show, as well as posted at Public Radio Exchange. Anyone seeking more information can go to Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org. A lot of alphabets to remember and titles of things, but just look for IdeaSphere. This program is also heard on National Public Radio at NPR.org. It's interesting, and I hadn't really thought about this, how the transition took place and when it took place. Post-World War II is when you target it, where we actually started seeing our employees differently when they come in for a potential job.
Exactly. So there was a big transformation that began in the 1970s, where in the post-war era, we talked about the workplace is a kind of family. People often saw the organization as investing in them, and they in turn invested in the organization. People expected to enter the organization and potentially stay there for their entire careers. And, you know, working in one place for 30 years was not uncommon. That, I think, as most of the listeners realize, is a fading reality, and it's been fading for at least 40 years now. We're moving towards shorter work tenure, much less job security, and a world in which people repeatedly find themselves in the middle of their career of having to find a new job. This is increasingly more and more the case. Layoffs have become routine, and in some cases, companies pride themselves on their very aggressive cost cutting, which often translates to reducing their labor force.
And it's really interesting. I think the readers are going to gain a lot from this. Whereas we were talking a moment ago, the American job seeker is trying to sell him or herself, and they're using what you call the chemistry game. Yet their future employer is not using that. It's not affecting the way they see their potential.
There is, what I would say is that the employer is considering a variety of factors. Some of them are more and some are less transparent to the job seeker. So the chemistry game is very upfront. This is the experience we have of trying to network, trying to convince a hiring manager at an interview that you would be the right fit, that you'd be someone they would like to work with. What we don't see are the hundreds of other applicants that's invisible to us who are also applying for the same job, and the kind of filtering that happens behind the scenes of the many other applicants and in most cases of us as well. Here there is very often rigid and computer generated filtering based on criteria such as duration of unemployment. This is a trap that many of the job seekers I study fall into, that once they are unemployed for over 6 months, the data suggests there is this kind of cliff at 6 months where it becomes much harder to get to be invited to an interview, because employers often screen out people based on unemployment. These are very difficult barriers, and they may be not as visible to job seekers as some of the other factors, like an interview not going well. And so there is, I think, an over-attribution to those chemistry factors than to other kind of factors employers consider. And this matters in how job seekers understand their continued unemployment and what's causing it.
The book we're talking about, Flawed System, Flawed Self, Job Searching and Unemployment Experiences, author Professor Ofer Sharon. He teaches at MIT Sloan School of Management, where he's Assistant Professor of Work and Employment Relations. Check out his website at ofersharon.com. That's OferSharone.com. This is Ideasphere, a platform for today's voices. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Ideasphere, a platform for today's voices. My guest, Ofer Sharon, Flawed System, Flawed Self, Job Searching and Unemployment Experiences. His book is available through University of Chicago Press. Professor Sharon, you spend a good deal of time on the internet. What's interesting, too, is our slow reliance now on the internet, networking through the internet, LinkedIn, Facebook, Google. We can do all of these things to get our information out in front of others. And yet you see that in some ways as detrimental.
So the internet, and particularly social networking, has been heralded by some as the solution for job seekers. If you only can learn to use LinkedIn effectively, then your career troubles are over. This I have not found to be the case very often. There are some very useful things about getting on LinkedIn for job seekers. Particularly, it helps them identify who they may want to reach out to and develop a relationship with. But it doesn't very often happen that simply by getting connected online, you automatically get referred for the kind of jobs that you want. It's not something that the job seekers or interview report happens. And so having to meet in person, having to develop trust and relationship is still key. And the internet doesn't change that, though it might create some false expectations and raise expectations about how easy it might be to network.
We've been talking mostly along the lines of the white-collar worker. You also emphasize the differences between the white-collar and blue-collar and their seeking of jobs. The blue-collar worker has a completely different set of criteria that they're working with, and interesting that they have problems with the filters and checks, the screening they have to go through.
Yeah, so it's really a different world in terms of how one goes about getting a job. In the blue-collar context, what I hear from the job seekers and from existing studies of employers is that one of the main criteria here ultimately is is this person a really hard worker? Are they responsible? Are they going to show up on time? And do they have the kind of work ethic that's required to get the job done day in and day out? Chemistry, which I emphasize is so important in the white-collar case, either doesn't come up or in some cases seems to even be detrimental. If you're too much like the hiring manager, if you're formerly, say, a white-collar worker and now you're trying to get a blue-collar job, that might actually hurt you. The hiring manager may think you're overqualified, that you would be unhappy at a job that doesn't use all your educational background. So it's a different kind of criteria for hiring, but it creates its own particular barriers. Often the barriers here are, as with Israel, a very rigid hiring system at the upfront. You know, so we have drug tests, we have credit report checks, or if you've had financial difficulties that for some reason employers think reflects on whether they should hire you or not. There are, if you have been in prison or criminal records, these are can pose barriers that are impossible to overcome. The interesting thing about looking at these blue-collar hiring system in the United States is that it leads to a very similar experience of unemployment as in the Israeli white-collar case. And so here, across two different countries, across class, we find very similar unemployment experiences, and the common denominator is how hiring works. And we see that where there is a very rigid hiring system, where the obstacles are also very transparent and clear to the job seekers, they understand what is excluding them, that you have one type of unemployment experience, which is not a happy one, but it's typically not one of self-blame, unlike the white-collar case, where people become often filled with self-doubt. In the American blue-collar case and in the Israeli case, what we see is much more about a feeling of anger about a system that is shutting them out, that is not giving them a fair chance to show their underlying strengths and potential, and is rendering them invisible. In the blue-collar case, we also have the technology interface is sometimes very challenging. So if people don't have experience working with computers, the fact that one needs to apply for jobs online and upload a resume online can pose, in some cases, substantial difficulties.
Once again, flawed system, flawed self, job searching and unemployment experiences. This book is now available through the University of Chicago Press, author Ofer Sharon, and that's Sharone. Once again, the websites you recommend?
If people want to find out more about the job and my research, ofersharon.com. The book can be found on Amazon, or if you just Google it, it would come up. And the other jobs that I mentioned before, jobhunt.org, has a lot of resources for support.
And as mentioned, we'll have those posted at Public Radio Exchange, prx.org. One of the summaries you have with your work is the fact that when someone is job-seeking, that is work in itself, and they should take it very seriously. Some don't.
You know, surprisingly, most do, but this is kind of invisible work. We tend to have a stereotype of unemployment as a period of kind of a void where people may just be sitting on the couch or waiting by the phone, but it's actually when I study the day-to-day life of unemployed job seekers, their lives look in some ways much like those of workers. They create schedules and milestones. The work of networking, for example, is extremely difficult and time consuming, setting up appointments and then preparing for them and successfully communicating during networking opportunities what it is that you're looking for, but also communicating why you're good at it and who you are as a person and why the kind of person you are would make a good fit for the particular target employers. These all require tremendous amounts of effort. It also requires what sociologists call emotional labor. this is the labor of producing particular emotions to do the work of networking effectively. It comes up in interviewing as well. Requires that you develop and express emotional tonalities that lead to connection with the other person, that leads them to understand that you have the kind of intangible qualities that would make you a good fit. This doesn't happen automatically. It requires much work, and I find it to be one of the hardest types of work there is simply to look for work.
As we close this discussion, is there something that you feel is vitally important? We haven't covered everything, so if you have a thought you'd like to express now, I want to hear it.
One thing I would want to communicate to all job seekers, particularly to those who have found themselves, like 4 million other Americans, is to try to maintain and try to remember the larger context in which they are currently job searching. This is an economy right now that has the highest levels of long-term unemployment since the Great Depression, more than 70 years ago. The jobs opportunities are simply not there for many types of occupations. And all this is to help remind people that this is not about them. This is a time of crisis where obstacles exist that have nothing to do with who they are or how good they are, what kind of great contribution they can make to companies and to society. I think keeping that in mind is extremely valuable. And then finding others who are in the same boat, as I mentioned before, is vital to breaking the isolation and maintaining a healthy sense of self.
That's the challenging part for Americans, especially because we like to think of going it alone. How do we reach out to others?
I agree. This is a particular challenge here. But there are many others who are going through this similar experience. And many, many of them that I have spoken to express the difficulty of the isolation that often they can't openly talk with their family members or close friends about it. They don't want to burden their family or friends, or they feel that family and friends don't understand. And this is where others who are experiencing a similar situation are very, very helpful in both being able to understand the experience and to let the job seeker know that they're not alone in this, and that is vitally important.
Well, Mr. Sharone, thanks so very much for your time. It's been a pleasure, and I'm sure your book will be of benefit to many.
Thank you so much, Guy. I really enjoyed speaking with you.
Exhaustively researched. I'm sure people will focus on that and recognize it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Professor Ofer Sharone, Flawed System, Flawed Self, Job Searching and Unemployment Experiences. This is available through University of Chicago Press. Check out Professor Ofer Sharone's website at ofersharone.com. Spelling OFERSHARONE.com. If you have any questions about these broadcasts, write to me at rathbunproductions@gmail.com. This program is a distribution of Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org. For Ideasphere, I'm Guy Rathbun.